I hope you had a Merry Christmas. You know what? I did something I rarely ever do. I rode for a great length of time in the back seat of my little car. I don't think I'm ever going to do that again. Well, we let young Jason drive because it was rainy and foggy. And man, I tell you, anyway, I'll be fine. Of course, now I feel bad for anybody that ever sits in the back of my car. Oh, by the way, thank you again for everybody who participated and were able to come out and join us for our candlelight service Christmas Eve. That was especially meaningful for me. And I hope that was a good night for you too. And whatever you did, I hope you had some good family time together. And here we are, final Sunday, final day in the year 2023. Time to wish everybody, of course, a Happy New Year. And as we do, I want to share a few thoughts with you. We're going to leave this year behind, and in just a couple hours, we're stepping into the next. And I want to begin in a very different sort of a way. We got Kevin doing some extra duty there on the lights. Yeah, Michael on the sound. And I want to get Kevin to play us a song. It's actually by the Oak Ridge Boys. It's become one of my favorite Christmas songs. Although, most of you probably never heard it. And after you hear it this morning, you may never really want to ever hear it again. But there's a message in the madness of this song. They recorded this a little over 20 years ago. Diane, bless her heart, she put all the words up on slides so you can understand what they're singing. Now, it is No Silent Night, okay? But take a moment and just listen, especially to the words. You'll see them up on the screen of this song. It's the Oak Ridge Boys, and it's called Most Inconvenient Christmas.
Among the bills that I'd received was a postcard marked apologies. The Christmas gifts you've ordered aren't in stock. So I packed up the kids for Grandpa's house. Then a blizzard blew in and the car broke down. So we shared a quart of eggnog at a truck stop. And I said, kid, this is unfortunate. You think it's bad? Well, it's inconvenient. But the most inconvenient Christmas ever was the first one when God came so far to give himself to us. So when stress hits December, how it helps me to remember God is with us most when things just can't get worse. The most inconvenient Christmas ever was the first. By the time we got to Grandpa's house, his Christmas lights had burned it down, so we had to take him home with us. But he couldn't stand to leave the farm. So now there's cattle in our yard, sheep on the rug, pigs in the tub, and a rooster at dawn. And I said, now, honey, this is unfortunate. You think this is bad? Well, it's inconvenient. But the most inconvenient Christmas ever was the first one when God came so far to give himself to us. So when stress hits each December, how it helps me to remember God is with us most when things just can't get worse. The most inconvenient Christmas ever was the first. A young girl expects a child she can't explain, forced to walk 100 miles just to give birth in the hay, while the king at the same hour, fearing challenge to his power, sent his troops to track them down and wipe them out. Yep, hands down, the most inconvenient Christmas ever was the first one when God came so far to give himself to us. So when stress hits each December, how it helps me to remember God is with us most when things just can't get worse.
follow that? I always get teared up on that song. You may for different reasons, but I told you there was a message in that, wasn't there? It's this line. When the stress hits each December, how it helps me to remember God is with us most when things just can't get worse. Now, we all live our lives this way. There are times we want to be so close to the Lord. Other times, well, we kind of wish he would leave us alone. Some Sundays, you can't wait to get out and be with the Lord's people. Other mornings, well, you know, don't want to put on the smile today, don't feel much like worshiping. We live our lives this way. Sometimes up, sometimes down. Sometimes making great progress in our spiritual life, finding so much good stuff in our devotional times and reading in the Bible, and other times, well, gee, has it really been a week since I picked this book up? Oh, something good on TV, right? Looking back on this year, some beautiful things happened in 2023. But in some ways, this may be one of those years when you're kind of happy to be saying goodbye to 2023, just a few hours from now. You want to turn over a new leaf, so to speak. I don't know, maybe you got some New Year's resolutions. But in the back of your mind, you know, I'm just turning the page on the new calendar that I got for Christmas. Some of the things that are bothering me today, they're not going away when the clock strikes midnight tonight. They're still going to be here tomorrow. Sometimes we don't even want to face tomorrow, but there's something in that brand new morning that's waiting for us. Actually, it's someone. And you can count on it every single day. God himself will be there. Jeremiah the prophet, and these, I think of these verses often. You know them very well. Lamentations chapter 3, but it was something he called to mind, and therefore he had hope. He said, because of the Lord's great love, we're not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. His mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Whatever tomorrow holds, he is holding all of your tomorrows. He'll meet you. He'll be there every single day. You know, even a day filled with clouds, if you can fly in an airplane high enough, the sun's still shining, right? Isn't it? Now, back in November, we had a guest speaker, Bruce Fournier, and he talked about all the blessings we have as those who are in Christ Jesus. And in one sense, you can categorize people in the whole world, people who are in Christ and people who aren't in Christ. But for this morning, I was thinking about not just our being in Christ, but that in Jesus Christ, God himself has come to be among us. He's come to be with us, to live within us through his Spirit. And that was me even mentioned in that song, you know, from the Oak Ridge Boys, right? How God has come so far to be with us. The other morning, as I was wondering about what to say today, because I knew I had a couple of family events coming up, and so, you know, I had to squirrel away some time. But I kept thinking, you know, this whole Christmas message, and not just Christmas, but everything about what we believe about the life of Jesus. Now, I'll tell you, I was actually looking in the bathroom mirror finishing my shaving. I shave a little bit. But as I looked in that mirror, I said, this has to be true. This has to be true. Christ coming to earth, coming to live, not just among us, but through faith coming to live inside of us. This has to be true. If I'm going to have any hope of getting by in this world, I have to know. I have to know there really is a God, and he really cares about me. He cares about what happens to me. He loves me. Now, on the one hand, okay, it's Canada. It's Canada. You can live a fine life paying no attention to God at all. In fact, the majority of Canadians do that. We've got government safety nets. We've got opportunities for reasonable employment. Of course, inflation keeps up on the rise, but you get more education. You can get a better job. You got friends. You got family. Lots of things to do and see. I was chatting with somebody just this week, and they were wanting to share the gospel with somebody. And I thought of it afterwards. You know, when you're talking to somebody and encouraging them to put their faith in Jesus, or to put their faith back in Jesus, I have no idea what you're going through right now, but you cannot guarantee that that person's life will be easier. Oh, come to Jesus and your life will be easier. No, you can't guarantee that. You can't guarantee there won't be hardships. But what you can guarantee is this: you will be living your life with a purpose. Your life will go according to plan. Oh, God's plan, not yours. That's where we find it difficult sometimes. But you won't just be floundering around aimlessly. I know sometimes you feel that way. But no. You'll have a purpose, God's purpose. And God's plan, well, their plans are not to harm you, right, as he says, but to give you hope, to give you a future. There really is a futility about life without Jesus. Even in a rich country where most people would think you're crazy to say that, but there's a futility to life without Jesus. But is our coming to Christ only so we don't go to hell when we die? Right? So we can escape his judgment? Now, of course, it is that. But doesn't he help us now? Right? In the day-to-day stuff of everything that makes up our existence here on planet Earth. Like I say, your life takes on a new meaning, a purpose. Someone has a plan for you. I mean, have you never experienced him working in your life in some way, even if you had to look back to see it? Is he not a constant friend to you? Have you found him that? Can you think of any good reason not to follow him? This has to be true. This past Christmas Eve, Charmaine, she lit our candle of love and shared some words about Joseph, the Advent candle. And okay, if you have your Bible, we'll turn to these well-known words, and we'll have them on the screen as well. But it's Matthew chapter 1, part of the Christmas story. And we'll start reading at verse 18. But these words, they're included in this story regarding Joseph. Joseph is one of the few people in the Bible even referred to as a righteous man. Now, you'll see it in a moment. The NIV translates that as Joseph being faithful to the law. They put a footnote, though, that he was a righteous man. In other words, he was faithful to the law. What he knew about the old covenant, he was righteous in the sense of fulfilling that to the best of his ability. Right? Like Abraham, I'm assuming he had faith. Now, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, starting at verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. When we think about the Old Testament law, don't put yourself under that, ever. Right? Because we tend to pick and choose the ones we like the best. But Paul even says, you want to live under the law? You got to fulfill the whole thing. James said the same thing. We don't bring a sacrifice now. We don't have to go to a particular temple anymore. We're not under that. By the way, that law also included the right to throw rocks at people. Joseph could have ordered for Mary's death. Because the only way to break an engagement back in this time, betrothal was just as binding as marriage. You had to divorce or die. So either way, it was not going to be good for Mary. But as Charmaine said to us, he treated her like a real person. He cared about her. Because he could have had her killed, but he decided quietly. Now, I'm not sure what kind of a plan he had. Maybe he didn't even either. But he had a plan somehow, or he was going to hope that the Lord would help him figure that out. But after he had considered all this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. That's a reference to a prophecy in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. Now, this week in my own devotional reading from the writings of Oswald Chambers, I know I always give him a plug. By the way, if you're looking for a devotional book this year, in fact, you can even go online and read it for free. Just do a Google search, because you got one day to find some devotional book. Just do a search, "My Utmost for His Highest" by Oswald Chambers. And you can pick either the classic or the updated English version. But it was the entry for December 25th, Christmas Day, and he wrote this: "Jesus Christ was born into this world, not from it. He did not emerge out of history. He came into history from the outside. Jesus Christ is not the best human being the human race can boast of. He is a being for whom the human race can take no credit at all. He is not man becoming God, but God incarnate, God coming into human flesh from outside it. His life is the highest and the holiest, entering in at the lowliest door." Let that sink in for a moment. The highest and the holiest, he enters in at the lowliest door. He comes through the most humble of doors, a manger. We learned a couple Sundays back, right? Probably a cave, one used for birthing the sacrificial lambs that were going to be sacrificed in the temple. Not even a guest room in a tavern. Not a very comfortable place for a woman to bring her first child into the world. If the innkeeper were here today, I mean, he'd tell us just how bad he felt, right? He'd say, "Oh man, I'm written right in the Bible. Everybody thinks I'm a real lousy guy. If I'd known it was him, I would have found someplace a little better. I would have given him my room. He could take my bed." Reminds me of that bad joke. Remember that bad? Okay, I'm going to have to tell you now. But guy comes to a motel in the middle of the night and looking for a room, and the manager says, "Oh, I'm sorry, sir. We're all booked up." And he says, "Oh, yeah? Well, if I was the prime minister, wouldn't you be able to find a room for me?" "Oh, well, of course, sir, if you were the prime minister. I mean, oh, I'm sure we could find something." And the man said, "Well, I got news for you. Mr. Trudeau is not coming here tonight. I will have his room. Please and thank you." Okay, that wasn't an old joke, Howard. Very good. Anyway, I told her for a reason. We go out of our way for so-called important people. And so much of our determining who is important, well, it comes down to their status in life. Hey, how rich are they? How successful are they in the world's eyes? All the things God never looks at. God comes down. He comes down so far out of his way because, okay, on the one hand, everybody is important. What I mean is this. Humanly speaking, okay, in our way of looking at things, we don't think of everybody as being important. We make all kinds of judgment calls based on outward appearances, status, money. But in God's way of looking at things, every single human being bears the image of the divine. Every person is stamped with the image of God, no matter how far they've kind of buried it. However, and I'm glad Evan read those words to us, because God can come only to those who realize their poverty. Only people like that can be made rich in faith, as Evan shared with us. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He gives grace to the humble. I was looking at a couple of commentaries at home. The expositor's commentary, you know. It says, no greater blessing can be conceived than for God to dwell with his people. The fulfillment comes in Revelation 21. John gets that vision of the new city of Jerusalem coming down out of heaven as a bride. He says it in Revelation 21, verse 23. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives its light, and the Lamb is its lamp. What a glorious future he has planned for his children. But where's our life come from? Comes from him right now, living in these temples of the Holy Spirit. Right now, whatever this new year may bring us. Jesus, the one called Emmanuel, God with us. He promises that he's with us now. And he will be. As Matthew ends his gospel, you know the words so well, Matthew 28, the end of verse 20, where he said, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. I'm with you. He's with you now. It's not just something for the sweet by and by, but his presence, his power to help us, it's right here, today, every day, every new morning. One commentary I looked at, they quoted the English preacher from the 1800s, Charles Spurgeon, Prince of Preachers. He called this whole thing a marvelous condescension. He said to think that God should be a man. This Jesus, the one who was in the beginning with God, the one who thought it not robbery to be equal to God, he takes on flesh, he lives with us. Talk about marvelous condescension. What is it they say? Nobody's taller than the person who bends down to help somebody, right? The one who dwells in unapproachable light has come down. He's entered our world. Coming into our Bethlehems. You know what? When you think about it, we could all think of ourselves as a Bethlehem. A place. Is there room? Is there room in your heart for him? In your Bethlehem. Jesus, who being in very nature God, making himself actually nothing. That's the word Paul said in Philippians 2, right? You remember those verses? He took on the nature of a servant. He humbled himself, even to the point of allowing people to put him on a cross. As the writer of the Christmas Carol put it, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with men to dwell. Jesus, our Emmanuel. Emmanuel. In Colossians 1, verse 28, Paul speaks about a glorious mystery now revealed to Gentiles, right? It's you and me, and it's this. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's Colossians 1, the end of verse 28. Christ in you, the hope of glory. God's glory displayed in the face of Jesus. Paul said that to the church in Corinth. That's why we keep seeking his face, because that's where the glory is. Now, much of that glory remains future. That's why it's called hope. The sure hope of the glory of God. Something we will see someday in all its fullness. Now, sometime if you read Colossians chapter 1, here's your homework, you'll see that in the meantime, Paul had to endure quite a bit of hardship. He was an ambassador in chains sometimes. And in those sometimes, we get just some precious tastes of the glory of God now in this life. We get them. My friend Caitlin Gerber from Milbank. Okay, Violet, you have a special appreciation of some kind for Rescue Junction. I get it. It's a bluegrass group. Okay, Violet's not a big fan. But the bluegrass group Rescue Junction from Milbank, my friends Caitlin and Kyle, brother and sister. In one of her, I won't sing it for you. Aren't you glad? In one of her songs, she calls them echoes from a home I've never known. Echoes. She says this: we were left with a promise of somewhere to belong. This fallen world we're given is just a stepping stone. We're told of a coming, a new world without end. And if we listen closely, it echoes back again. Right? If we can slow down enough, sometimes we hear the echoes of home. I mean, isn't that bizarre? I always think of that song that John Denver wrote. Well, it's Rocky Mountain High. You can decide whatever you want to say that song is. But he talked about it. He talked about someone being born in the summer of their 27th year. Huh? How do you get born in the summer of your 27th year? Well, you get born again. And he said they're going home to a place they've never been before. Isn't that bizarre when you think about it? We're going home to a place we've never been before, but we can't wait to get there. We don't know what lies ahead for us personally as we step in to the year 2024. We don't know yet what kinds of temporary pain we may have to endure. We don't know how long the Lord will tarry. There's that old preacher's word, right? How long will it be before he returns? We don't know. But we do know that all of this is true. This message, this hope in Christ. So, on this January 31st morning, let's you and I commit again to seeking the Lord, seeking after his ways. Let's commit again to helping our brothers and sisters in Christ. I mentioned that a bit this morning at the prayer time. Let's do our best to help ensure that everybody gets home. See? Paul tells us in Colossians 1 and verse 28 that Jesus, he's the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. Emmanuel is with us. Glory to the newborn King. Blessings to you and your family in 2024.